Town of Monroe Zoning Board, Wednesday, September 20, or August 29th, 2018.
We had those in the last meeting, right? And I did read them on the computer in front of me. Did everybody get a chance to read the notes in the last meeting?
Yes.
Did anybody find anything that needed to be changed or corrected?
I'm not as critical as the chairman, but I didn't see anything.
I didn't read it. Dan, is it good? You were good. Make motion to accept the last meeting. What was that, July?
August 1st.
So we had a delay, yeah.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right, so we'll start off with appeal number 805. A request of Alan and Sue Lacy of 308 Bluebird Road, Southwest Baltimore, for an area variance pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 10, Chapter 149-59A, and Town Law 267-B. Applicants are proposing to construct a platform leading to the residence that will meet the required 40-foot front setback in an M1 general manufacturing and industrial zoning. This property is designated as 37.2-12 on the town assessment map. And who is here for this? You want to introduce yourself?
Yep. I'm Alan Lacy, and this is my wife, Sue. Okay. And we lived there close to 50 years. That's our first house we bought for two-quarter moon.
Well, the first thing I want to do, and I almost forgot to say this, is we don't have a full board tonight. We've got four members, not five. And if for any reason you feel uncomfortable with that, you can hold this over until the next meeting.
We've been waiting for the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we were looking through your application, and you did a really nice application. You've got a lot of pictures and information. It's very, very, and I thought it was well done. It was a good example of what you're requesting and what you need. And this was from a work injury. You said I think I read it.
Yes.
Head free. So, I'm going to get myself a little relief of that so that we're looking at the help. Everything I read, everything was there. Am I missing that on the application, the relief that he's requesting? Did I miss that? It's on the application. I don't see it on the...
What is the dimension of the platform again?
I think it was 5x7.
5x7, so... And I think the house is already in the setback as it was.
That's what I was thinking. It's not 40 feet back in the road, right?
Yep.
That was pre-existing.
And that was pre-existing.
Correct.
So, but the fact that we don't have the dimensions, I mean, I'm, how do we...
You can word it as 7 feet of relief.
7 feet of relief?
Yes. From the current setback. Because they didn't have a survey. There's always approximation in that case of where the front property line is anyhow.
I'm not trying to be, but would it be wiser for us to give them a little bit?
Yes, yes.
That's a commercial, pretty much a commercial zone.
Yes.
I don't have a problem with myself, speaking for myself, I don't have a problem with us giving him a little bit of extra leeway in case he needs it.
Well, you could say up to 10 feet or something like that.
That's what my thought was.
Yeah, I think that's a wise step.
What does any of the other board members have questions?
If you gave me 10 feet, that would give them to 25%?
It would be, it would be roughly 25%, yeah. Yeah. We don't know for sure because of the fact that we don't have it yet. It would be like 25%.
Oh, yeah, approximately.
Okay. Do we have any? Is there anybody? Do we have any letters written or anything?
No correspondence.
This doesn't need seeker or anything, so.
There is no EAF.
Correct.
Because there wasn't one filled out.
Correct, because there's not one required.
I just generally, you have them filled out and then just. But if your youth attorney needs to be a type 2?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions from any board members? Or is there anybody here in the audience that has any questions about this application? Then we have to close the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to close the public hearing. And I'll entertain a motion. I'll make a motion. And for the application for appeal number 805, I'll make a motion to allow up to 10 feet of relief for the front setback to allow them to build this porch on front, or this ramp on the front of the house.
I'll second
it. You want to pull the board?
Mr. England? Oops, sorry. Mr. Manning?
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Mr. Elms?
Yes.
Mr. England?
Yes.
Okay. All set. Thank you. Sorry you can't believe it didn't exist.
We wanted to know you already met.
Yeah, you did a nice job of showing us what we need to see.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. All righty. Now we'll go to appeal number 806. A request of Anthony Haynes of 96 T. Harrison Avenue, Southwest Hall, New York, for an area variance pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 10, Section 149-59A, and Town Law 267B. Applicant is proposing to subdivide a 15-acre parcel into three lots. Two lots will be 40,000 square foot area, and the remaining lots will be approximately 0.23 acres in the area. The 240,000 square foot lots will not have frontage on a public right of way, pursuant to Section 149-5, definitions of a lot and a lot width in Section 124-4, definitions of lot building. The applicant is requesting relief from this provision. This property is located in a UR multifamily dwelling, one and two family residential zoning district, and is designated as 37.1-1-34 in the town setback. And who is representing that?
Anthony Harris.
I'll start off with the same thing. We've only got four members here tonight. If you're comfortable with that, that's fine. If you're not,
yeah, I'll go with that.
Excuse me?
I said I'll go with that.
Okay, thank you. Well, they have that on the record. Okay. Let me choose that. Application out. This is an unusual request in respect to this is you're going to have two lots with no road frontage on a town road. It's a driveway, right?
Well, it's a driveway, and they already have two lots in this condition, you know, but that are basically pre-existing non-conforming.
Right.
And I believe it's for family members, correct?
Yes.
So his expectation was this was done in the past and, you know, it could be done again. And that's when we ran into the problem of no frontage. And it really comes down to the, you know, the primary reason why this requirement exists, let me say this, is for public health and safety, access of emergency vehicles, you know, to the dwelling.
Right. Fire trucks have to be able to get in on the road.
So, in my opinion, I think a primary consideration should be the adequacy of the proposed access going forward, and you know, is it something that, you know, will be maintained and open in the event that emergency vehicle access is needed, you know, year round, you know, whether it be, you know, winter time or what have you.
Well, as it stands right now, my brother and I take care of it, maintenance, plowing, everything else. We live there. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it for the last 25 years. We've never had an issue. We've had fire trucks down there before. Because sometimes your campfire is out of control.
Mm-hmm.
We have garbage trucks that come down there weekly. Mm-hmm. My brother drives a dump truck. He's in and out of there all the time. I drive a 75-foot long tractor trailer. I brought it home on numerous occasions. I've had no trouble getting in and out of there with that. I don't see whether it'd be an issue with the fire truck getting in and out of there or an ambulance.
Mm-hmm. I don't perceive as any problem until somebody goes to resell.
Well,
then, you know, it comes out of the family. What happens then?
Well, in that regard, what I would suggest is, further suggest, is if you want to give consideration to this, you know, as an approval, there'd be proper language in the parent property deed, you know, referring to this easement, you know, the right of passage to the benefit of these two lots, whoever owns them, and there'd be some sort of maintenance provision, you know, agreed upon. We've done it before in cases where there's like flag lots, you know, we have a shared driveway. There is proper frontage technically, but they decide to have a shared driveway. So the planning board has done this in the past, but they have put in those types of provisions in the deed, and a maintenance agreement is entered into by all the property owners, recorded. Carl, I think, participated in that last one, as a matter of fact, when the planning board did this on a shared driveway. I think it was like 3 or 4 months ago, maybe half a year. So that's what's done as a mechanism to address that.
Would that have to be done prior to our decision?
Well, it can be part of it, because this is a three-lot subdivision, so it requires planning board approval.
It's going to have to be a planning board approval, so they would have the property, the deeds have that information in order for them to get the planning board approval.
So if, you know, if it's a route you want to take, I would suggest that as a condition, you know, of the approval and for the subdivision going forward.
And we have no issue at all.
I mean, that's just good practice.
Right. Well, I think it's very important, because at some point in time, house is up. And we've had issues before where when it was sold, it was a little bit gray on who was responsible for the roadway, the driveway, whatever you want to call it, shared access. And that, I don't think that's something we want
to. Well, we've already had issues in prior instances on the enforcement side. New owners come in, they don't get along, and then this becomes a point of contention.
We have to have it. I would say if I was to consider, like speaking for myself, I definitely would have to have a condition on that. That was very clearly in the deeds.
So a deed restriction.
A deed restriction that clearly stated that.
Well, it's technically called a covenant, not a restriction per se. And the other thing is, what I like to have done is it's shown in the deed and on the recorded on the plat as a note as well. So it's on the subdivision map and in the written deed in writing.
Do we have any more questions? Did we have any letters from anybody?
No, there was no correspondence on this one as well.
Do we have representatives in the audience with questions about this request? I mean, I do agree we've had these circumstances before. I think John made a very good point. I think if we consider this, with the stipulation that those covenants would have to be in there on the maintenance of the road. Is there any more discussion about this? Or?
my question is, do we set this aside now, or do we wait for the language of the planning board?
I mean, maybe Carla can...
We can put it as a condition for this variance. The planning board still has a whole lot of work ahead of it. Mm-hmm. So the planning board would take this, knowing the condition, and I would like to be at the planning board meetings and be able to explain to them, mm-hmm. and knowing the board, they want these restrictions as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, that would be something that I would have to have, or they would have to have put into the deeds.
You would have to, correct, you'd have to have the covenants and the deeds, and then there's an easement agreement, and a maintenance agreement, and all that gets reported in the clerk's office.
Okay, yeah.
It's really a two-party step. The surveyor will be, they'll give you the dimensions for the driveway, so the language is proper, you know, the meets and bounds description of the driveway. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, Carla, but the maintenance agreements are pretty standard.
They're separate agreements. They're separate.
But there's a standard agreement, standard language. But those two things usually combine to address this, and then the notation is also put on the subdivision map by the surveyor. Kevin, you got a question?
Oh, sorry, yes.
Pat Hughes, we live next to the property. I was just wondering where the parcels were for the Bernahati housing. If it was into the woods or if it was under the...
It's
okay.
It's into the woods.
Yes, it's
great bay.
That's what I thought.
It's very fine with the rest of the house.
That's what I think you know. Okay.
Mr. England?
Yes. Yes.
Mr. Elms?
Yes. Okay. You're all set.
Very good. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
I expect the best.
I don't see the people.
I had to talk in the last time. If you don't do it the right way,
I don't see the people from Habitat here. You can call out, but I don't think they're here. That was 806. Just got approved.
We're going in. Is there anybody here from Habitat for Humanity? We're going to table it and see if they show up.
Yep.
So we're going to table appeal number 807 right now. And we'll go to appeal number 808. And this is an appeal for an interpretation that has been filed by Ernest Greenier. Is that pronounced right, Greenier?
Yes.
Of 1115 Route 9, Hanford, New York, 12831, seeking an interpretation from the zoning board regarding the proposed use of Carol Donaldson on 1109 Route 9, Hanford, New York, 12831. The town zoning administrator has determined on July 3rd, 2018, that the proposed small engine equipment repair service proposed by Mr. Donaldson is a home occupation. The applicant is seeking a reversal of the determination as the applicant alleges that the proposed use does not meet the definition of home occupation as listed in section 149-5, definitions of town road code. Now, again, I will remind you that we only have four members here tonight. We do not have a full board. It is completely up to you to decide whether or not you want to table this until the next meeting and have a full board, or you want to have it in that short.
I think we'll just move forward with it.
Okay, so you're okay, go ahead.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Now you're representing?
Yeah, thanks. Claudia Bremer, I'm representing Mr. Greenier. And I think you guys have it, but I'll just refresh your memories. This is on the small engine repair shop proposed by Mr. Donaldson. It's a commercial operation for the repair of lawnmowers, riding mowers, and tractors, chainsaws, weed trimmers, motorcycles, as well as ATVs and other small equipment. In addition to the repair itself, there's also the element of storage of non-working engines and equipment on the site to be used for replacement parts. Now, a home occupation, according to your code, is usually conducted within a dwelling and does not have any exterior evidence of the use of the dwelling for that occupation, except maybe a sign or a nameplate outside. Here, a small engine repair shop is not something that is usually conducted inside a dwelling. Now, I know that we have here a detached garage, and Mr. Martin said that that's not really any different. It could be a garage that is attached to a home, and the fact that it's separated from the home doesn't make any difference as far as his determination as to whether or not it's a home occupation. But I think that it should have some consideration in your mind, because if you call this a home occupation, someone could come along and say, well, I want to put a small engine repair shop in my garage that is attached to my house. And I think that's a very dangerous precedent to set, not from maybe a zoning perspective, but actually from a pure safety perspective. Because if you saw in the paper a few weeks ago, there was a very bad fire in Queensbury because there was a gentleman that was doing small engine repair out of the garage attached to his house, and it burned down his entire house. So this is not something that is customarily done within your home. It's usually done at a service repair shop. The second thing is that here we do have exterior evidence of the commercial operation, because they're going to be storing all this stuff, whether it's engines or other equipment to be repaired, or whether it's just this non-working stuff that they have sitting around outside to be used for the replacement parts. So I think those two elements right there knock it out of the home occupation category under your own code. And the third thing that your code says, or another thing, is that it cannot cause a change in the character of the community or the neighborhood. And this, given all of those aspects, the fact that he's going to be running it out of his garage 24/7, okay, not 24/7, but 7 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day, and that he's going to have all this stuff outside of his garage does have a negative impact on the character of the community. So for all of those reasons, this does not meet your definition of a home occupation, and we ask that you grant our appeal and reverse the determination that this would fit in that category.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Would I have a chance for lack of a better term, rebuttal?
Well, yes, if you give me 1 second.
Okay. Okay, the thing I would draw to the board's attention, and this is a very, very critical aspect of this particular application, is that this is in an R3 zone. And R3 zone, I call to your further attention, that agricultural use is permitted as of right. So therefore, in many instances across the town, in the R zone, whether it be 3 or 5 or what have you, we have many instances of farm equipment on site being repaired, both in detached and attached buildings associated with that use of a much larger and intense nature than what's proposed here with residential lawnmowers and ATVs and things of that sort. So in terms of the character of the neighborhood issue, Mr. Donaldson or any other neighbor in this district could bring in agricultural equipment as of right and not have any approvals required at all. Site plan, special use, none of that. As of right. So I don't see where the character of the neighborhood is diminished by a small engine repair service that's operating basically on a part-time basis, even several hours a day. Farming can occur 12, 14 hours a day. Diesel equipment of a much larger nature. So in terms of the character of the neighborhood here, I don't see where that's compromised. And I would even assert it's in large part in keeping with, given that as a permitted use as of right. Now, in terms of, you know, the inside or, you know, inside a attached or detached dwelling, there's many things that occur in accessory buildings that people do that are not subject to any kind of review that cause, unfortunately, fires and accidents and things of that nature. I've seen instances online where cars combust. You know, electric short. Matter of fact, my brother's truck burned up in his driveway while he was watching TV.
Well,
just at night.
There's a lot of houses that burned down because the cars are parked in the garage and the cars are.
And, you know, is it unfortunate? Yes. But I don't see where we have, again, anything above and beyond. Now, in terms of the potential impacts that occur with this type of service, that is why this is subject to special use permit. For this board to thoughtfully consider what are potential adverse impacts and set forth reasonable protections to ensure that those impacts are not affecting adversely the character of the neighborhood. For example, setting limits on the number of vehicles that are there for parts or under repair at any time or pieces of equipment. Putting this behind a fence, requiring that the repair service only occur within the structure. Those are all very reasonable conditions, and that is why, specifically, this is a use that is subject to special use permit. And it's not as of right.
And hours of operation.
All those things are sound enforceable conditions that we can quantify and we can easily check against at any given time, and if there is a violation, bring it back into compliance with the condition that you may set forth. So, and the other thing I would caution against, you know, these individuals are here tonight in this one instance. What you do is precedent setting. So, I would recommend resisting getting caught up in the emotion and drama associated with this one application around these one set of circumstances, because this is precedent setting nature across the town. So if we have somebody with a proposed home occupation in an R5 zone or R3 zone, this is precedent setting for years to come. These people will be long gone, both the applicant and the person bringing the request for interpretation. And this is going to have long-standing effect. So I caution you to be very prudent in the way you view this, because, like I said, this is an instance in time. Mm-hmm. So that's all I have to say.
That would be my main concerns. Again, I personally said, as far as the detriment to the neighborhood, I think that would be hard to prove given the neighborhood where it is, as far as that goes. Unfortunately, me personally, said I don't really look at a small engine repair. I like home occupation, my own 2 cents. Something was typically done that you would not notice necessarily driving by. You know, if you're a realtor, if you're an architect, I don't even know you're in there doing it. Whereas this is outside, so that's where the gray area comes in for me. But like you said, Jim, I think that I don't know that I want to necessarily strictly define the home use, home occupation matter, because I do think you're right. I think boards and future boards should have the chance to review it and actually look at each individual application as a standalone basis. I don't want to create a broad, no small engine repair in, you know, town or other kind of thing. I don't know that we have. I don't know if we can do that. Yeah, you know what I mean?
But it's
definitely an outdoor, it's an outside bedroom, it's an outside presence, regardless. And again, compared to repairing the track that breaks down versus a full-time dedicated business of repairs, is, to me, is not important.
I guess the only thing I would say, and I don't mean to be argumentative, but I would say, again, proper protections and conditions can be put in place that
that's
there
right.
is not outside appearance. Even in this specific instance.
Right, we shouldn't, if we choose to do this, we can put stipulations on that. We can't do the repairs outside, but they have to be done in the building.
Well, if we say contract the DOA will be appeal itself, as far as whether or not we're going to define small areas in home occupation that are not here, that's one conversation. Everything else you're talking about, that's in the AO3, which we can
communicate.
What I'm encouraging is that when you consider this, it's not home occupation as a matter of right. It's home occupation, conditioned upon an issuance of a special use permit for the very reasons that you just cited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If I could, I know it's a little difficult because you're looking at a determination, you're looking at an application. I just want to remind the board that the board that's before you right now is whether or not you agree with Jim's determination that the small engine repair shop falls within the home occupation definition in your code. Everything else is outside that, so you need to determine that first. I just wanted everyone to be, because it is hard to get into.
And the other thing I want to say in closing, I don't mean to sit here, and I'm not diminishing Mr. Grenier's concerns. They're legitimate and they're justified. That's not what I'm suggesting. I wholeheartedly believe in this idea of conditions. That's why it's here. And I think conditions can be brought to bear that addresses his concerns, maintains the integrity of his property and his property values, and allows this home occupation to occur as well. I do think there can be an achievable outcome here that addresses his concerns. I'm not minimizing them or discounting them. He has obviously every right to bring them, and I respect that. I'm just saying, though, that's why these procedures are in place.
Point well taken. That much I understand. But if I'm corrected here, I'm only been deciding whether or not those words support the decision.
That's correct, yes.
Whether or not this comes to home occupation.
If we agree,
if you agree that with Jim's determination that it falls within the definition, then you go into the special.
No.
Everybody's on this argument here. It becomes a moot point.
Right.
You can make a decision on that at a later point.
Right.
Let's not bundle it up.
Okay. I agree. No problem. Is there anybody else? We didn't get any letters or anything on this.
No, we have Claudia's letter.
We have her letter. I read that.
Yes. Talking about precedent. People that come in here and build a new home, or you give the land to your kids and they build a new home, and now you set a precedent. If someone wants to open a small engine repair shop next to your homes in a neighborhood that's just families, no businesses, that's the precedent you're going to set. So who's going to come in here and build homes when you're worried that the people next door are going to open up a small engine repair shop? That's a precedent you set.
Yes.
How many small engine businesses do you know in the area? Not many. Right.
I there has been some, but I don't think there's one right now. I don't think there's one. Do we have any other discussion or any other? Does the board have any other questions or? I think I'll close the public hearing, and I'll entertain a motion for appeal number 808.
I'd like to make a motion that we actually deny this, that we do not reverse the zoning administrator's decision.
So we deny the
reversal, that we maintain the zoning administrator's position.
I'll second.
I'll second.
Would you poll for it?
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Mr. England?
Yes.
Mr. Elms?
Yes. Okay. So, the next step is to go back to appeal number 803, is that correct?
That's correct.
And
the board now has determined that it's a home occupation, so now you go into your special permit criteria.
So now we'll open up the hearing on appeal number 803, the request of Carol Donaldson of 1109 Rootman Hanson, New York 12821 for a special use permit. Pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 5, Section 149-29, applicant is proposing to operate a small home repair shop in the garage. This property is located on R3, 1 and 2 Family Agricultural Zoning District and is designated as A9.2-68.1 on the Town of Assessment Map. And Mr. Donaldson, you're here to represent himself?
Yes.
Okay. We have. Yeah, when we first brought up this appeal, you gave a lot of information. We had pictures that you brought. Is everything the same as it was?
Actually, I think you've increased. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was looking at it. Sorry. I'm not to look at that.
No. I'm not an email. I have a picture.
Yeah, well, please bring it up.
And no, I'm just waiting on final answer to decide whether how many I can keep there.
So I know, because at the last meeting, I personally I personally asked about, because he had brought in pictures and shown us the amount of mowers that you have in storage, and I understand the idea that you have of having a park. And I said to you at the time, I thought, you know, it was a reasonable concern that he had. There was a lot of mowers there. You haven't changed that at all?
No, I'm waiting to hear views on it. Get a better one. How many I can have.
Yes.
I just want to clarify, you brought in a seeker form, correct? Did you ask it?
Oh, you just had it. Yes, sir.
No, environmental assessment form.
Oh.
And then Enron came out.
You had an assessment form, you did part one, did you not? Alright, I have to go find it.
Okay.
Yeah, and he said he found no evidence of any oil.
Oh, this is a report where you had checked.
And I always have, I have a fire extinguisher in my garage. I have three of them in the house. I have two ladders one for the third story, one for the second.
But if you burn down the roof, it's going to be your own problem.
Yes, but I'm just saying, for the regards of the house, stuff burned down with a small engine, I keep, I'm part of the contract.
More concerned with the storage than the...
What's that?
More concerned with storage outside of the building.
Yeah. Yes, that'll be all contained.
That's a more contention.
It'll be all contained, you won't see it.
The other thing that I think that I have concerns with is the hours of operation, being cognizant of your neighbors not making noise, you know, outside the building. I mean, I think that's very important to be good, a good neighbor.
I agree.
You do know that it is granted that it's going to have conditions.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he, I'm sorry, but he has agreed in the last meeting that whatever concession.
Yes, I did read, you know, those, I remember that we mentioned that if we were to consider this,
right,
it would probably be with conditions.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like I said, a lot of the things for the community.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Other board members have questions that you would like to address?
I personally, my biggest concern is the outside presence. And also, although again, to say all small repairs don't detriment the surrounding area at all, this one, I know we have some considerations. We have two things. The reason why yours currently doesn't necessarily create a hazard is because you have currently using a driveway that we know is actually no longer really bad. It isn't supposed to be here, the tech is supposed to be there. So I wonder if this isn't the concern right now is because that driveway allowed me to give a second right of access and don't crack back out all the time.
Well, the problem is when we bought the house, it was a U-shaped driveway. That's why we bought
it. And then and that's going to be something we're going to have to pass on.
That's the point of running the state.
Right, but if it's a circular driveway, if it's anything like my driveway, because I have a circular driveway, if he ends up not being able to use one part of it, he's going to be able to turn the car around right back out. Because, you know, that's, you know, you've got to turn around with it.
So, oh, I'm sure they can.
Yeah. And I just want to make that point, though. It's going to, if that gets shut down, it's going to leave him that driveway to have him drive in, back into it, drive out.
Which is, which should have room in there.
The exit that left the right-hand driveway, I'm not going to say it's not safe, but it's not as safe if you, as if you go out the other side, because it's closer to the turn.
But it's still safe to me. I can see directions both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I can go either way, turn around, and come back out.
So then the other thing is, we got an existing garage here. We're talking about this proposed fence area on this plan we submitted. It's not necessarily specifically brought up if it's going to be done, if it's been applied for, if it's anything you've done, is that definite, is that they only recommended? What's going on with the 40 by 40 fencing area?
There will be a fence to put up depending on what the board tells us the size to put up.
Yes.
And,
so we're talking, we talked about this last time, I believe, a 6-foot white vinyl fence, we're talking something along those lines, is that still the
game? Yeah, probably not in white, no, that's the brownish color.
So
the
game next year.
To go along with the rest of it.
And so that's my main concern, that we're talking about a home occupation that's being done in an outbuilding that needs its own dedicated lay down area and storage area. So maybe we're going further and further from
no, the home. No, all on the garage.
Oh, I'm saying all the garage. The garage is further from the home. The extension of this tent is now even beyond, well, beyond that. We're going out of the home. You understand what I'm saying? The typical home occupation is within the home. We're now at outbuildings, we have fences, we have signs, we have dedicated driveway accesses. This means that we're stretching further and further and further. So I guess my question is, you obviously know that your neighbors have had some concerns about this. This isn't new to you. So, and you've been doing this for years as well. So obviously, if you guys, you know, so you've been getting along to this point. So I guess my first question is for you. What serious consideration, other than the town going to make you do, what consideration that you guys have are you going to take to try to make this as amicable to the surrounding properties?
Well, I'm not looking at $10 million business. Sure. I'm just looking just to keep a few machines there, whatever that comes in to get worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it out of sight, out of mind. Nothing would be outside the box, I would say.
And you have cut down in the house. We realize Mr. Bernier's issue with the time frame, so he has been coming in early at night and not running the engine. We were not aware of that before because Mr. Bernier never came to us and let us know that that was his concern. Once we found that out, then he might stop that.
And any neighbor with any concern would actually go ask the neighbor, hey, could you try to and try to keep it peaceful
without us giving stipulations on that. What you see yourself, what hour do you see yourself working?
Well, like I said, I got a full time job.
Yep.
So
you're home by?
I'm home probably go up to 5. Okay. So you figured I think 8:30, you know, would be a very, I think, a sufficient time.
You see yourself in your garage around 5:36 to 8:30.
And you do work on Saturday morning, so it would be after the 4 hours Saturday during the day until,
Sunday.
Sunday
we
off, so
Sunday's
and
Sunday and Tuesday.
A
lot of times it's just
some
I'll spend with family.
So what would we be looking at, a starting time of 8 in the morning and no later than 8 at night? Something like that?
You can be within
Chairman, could we be heard before
you... Yeah, I'm not making... There's no decision being made yet. We're just talking about... we'll get you all to be heard. Any other questions from Mr. Adams?
Would you see yourself carrying equipment on the property? A number you asked me about.
Cut that
lot or that aisle down a little bit. It was excessive in the beginning.
Well, let's say whatever I got now, I cut it right in half.
That's what's going to be in that 10 area.
And the only thing that'll be outside would be my own 2 tractors.
And we were able to find out that he does not work on motorcycles. He keeps being
or ATVs or whatever.
But ATVs are our personal motorcycles.
So you're basically
lawnmowers.
Yes.
Lawnmowers, snowblowers, and the occasional chainsaw.
Basically, you're trying to.
The ATVs are our own personal, and I mean, I think that we could work on our own personal stuff.
And that includes riding mowers, correct?
Yeah, tractors. This is a big yard tractor. Any other questions? Mr. Nelson from the board? All right, then we'll open up to the rest of you.
Thank you. Obviously, we're disappointed that you did not grant our appeal. I still think that you should be denying this application for a special use permit, even though you're calling it a home occupation. You're talking about conditions to limit the impacts to the neighborhood, because you obviously see that there are impacts. Mr. Martin even said that they were legitimate concerns of the neighbors. These guys are trying to address that, but overall, a home occupation is not supposed to have this kind of impact on the neighbors. So if you look at the criteria for special use permit, it is you can only grant it if the use will not endanger the health, safety, morals, or general welfare of the neighborhood or adversely affect the environment. It should not adversely affect the neighborhood character and surrounding property should not be endangered. We talked about the traffic. It should not be creating a traffic hazard. If you look at those things, you have grounds to deny this right off the bat. I don't see this board going that way. I see you guys already negotiating over conditions, but I wanted to put that out there to get you to be thinking about the fact that you have grounds to deny this on the special use permit criteria.
I can interject for a quick second. The conversation would be so weird if at the board here are more fully understanding exactly what the request is. We're not making any kind of negotiations of any state, you know, any shape or form, just simply getting to an informed decision so we know exactly what the ask is here.
Okay.
And nobody's made their mind up on this board yet. We won't. Our mind isn't made up until we make our. No. We vote.
Final determination. Okay, that's good. So hear me out, okay? We're asking for no outside operation, meaning no fence, no fenced-in area. Put it all in the garage. Work on only those that you can work on inside the garage. That should be a home occupation. Days of operation for an occupation should be Monday through Friday, not Saturdays and Sundays. That is the time that people are off and relaxing outside. Running the engines only between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Whether or not he's in there tinkering around on stuff at night at 11 o'clock at night, I've actually driven by from other town zoning meetings at 11 o'clock at night and seen their garage open with the lights on. I don't know.
I'm just saying. I want to make it
that's different.
You don't know if they were working, so I want to make that very clear.
But I want you to, if you're going to put conditions on them, that makes it absolutely clear that you can't be running engines at 11 o'clock at night. Not even 8 o'clock at night. Maybe they're operating their repairs.
Let me just point out that if I found a lawn, I can mow my lawn and look at it back in.
You can't. I think you can. I think you're right. It says your noise ordinance, and actually they asked for
10:59 p.m.
They've asked for 9 p.m. I'm sorry. That they would not operate between, this is in their business plan. Mm-hmm. Their business plan. That they would not operate between the hours of 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. So up until 8:55. Okay, but your code actually says you should stop at 10 p.m.
Right.
And they said,
I can be more than one at 10 p.m.
Right, to respect the neighbors, this company will allow for 2 hours of additional quiet time in the morning and the evening. So we're asking for more than that, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. No, that's when they can run the engines. And also, on that noise ordinance, it says no more than 5 minutes at a time for a standing piece of equipment. So we're asking that you impose that as well. They cannot, they should not be running engines for more than 5 minutes continuously at a time. You, Mr. Chairman, at the last meeting, asked them to limit it down to 5 pieces of equipment. That's what I have written down in my notes, and I believe he just said he hasn't gotten rid of any of that stuff.
And he explained why.
He did. Our concern is that you put in there conditions that can actually be enforced by your code enforcement officer. That he can drive by there and see there's only 5, and they're parked inside the garage, they're not sitting all over the yard, and there's not an outside fenced-in area that's 40 by 40 by 6 feet high. I think I covered a lot of things.
Well, I think I question your fence stipulation, because as any homeowner in the town road can put up a fence in that area, 6 foot high and 40 feet long. So I'm not sure that I would want to be setting a precedent that we couldn't allow somebody to put the fence up in the yard.
Well, wait a second. They're asking for something special. They're asking for a special use permit for a commercial operation.
Right.
And I know Mr. Martin said, you know, this, you know, ag can do whatever they want, basically, with their own tractors. This isn't their own tractors. This is a commercial business. They're asking for a special permit.
Well, I understand that.
So they shouldn't be treated just like a regular homeowner. They can put up a fence.
We're
going to
be putting a lot of regular. I mean, if we were to agree with this, it would be a lot of stipulations. I'm just not sure. I personally speaking, the fence one bothers me.
Well, you've said tonight it's a home occupation, which is not supposed to have any exterior evidence of the occupation. That's why we're asking for no exterior evidence. Thank you.
Do we have any other?
I would just like to point out there are a lot of people that work on Saturday and Sundays. Some people have part-time jobs that work on the weekends. So to say that just Monday through Friday is when people work, I don't agree with that. He can have a part-time job on Saturday or Sunday at Walmart or Price Chopper or wherever, so I don't understand the issues with him working on Saturday or Sunday. And as far as the fence issue, that's what we were advised to do, a fence so that it keeps with the integrity of the area, so that nothing is seen. So I don't know why the fence issue is becoming a huge deal.
Okay, thank you. Any more questions from any of the people in the audience? So, this does get a secret.
I'll say personally, I said I do not like bringing this this monitoring bed. To me, it doesn't mean it's a home occupation. It's not the intent what they were going for when they wrote that out there. I think, again, all the reasons and all the ramifications and all the contingents, everything we're talking about putting on here, it's all because of the fact that it doesn't meet what would be considered a kind of quote unquote normal home occupation. If that was the case, we would need all these restrictions and all these requirements and all these things and all these various different things that we're going to try to limit you to do. And the problem with that is twofold. One, first off, performance is not a job here to do that and sit there and I have no way of enforcing it. I have no way of enforcing a 5 minute rule, 5 tractor rule. There's no way to do that. And I can't tell you to open a business, but you're not allowed to grow your business and develop your business. The point of developing any business is to develop and grow. So obviously, how we let you build this in a residential zone, have a small engine repair, that again, and to me, I said, I don't see, I will not grant this, I don't want one on next to me, I want to do it in a residential area. I want to open up a small repair shop, I have to stay. I don't like these being a residential area. I don't think.
Can I just point out a couple things here? As a member of the board for many, many years, we have quite frequently granted special use permits in residential areas with lots of restrictions, and they are enforced. Because if a neighbor makes a complaint to the building department, then those rules are there that they can be shut right down. Mm-hmm. So it's not a big and it doesn't. And I just want to make a. I want to just debate. I want to rebut. Did debate with you about you said that made it not a home occupation. If that was the case, 90% of the home occupations that we have permitted would not be permitted. Because we've always gave them lots of restrictions. And the one thing that I say about that is that as a person that's lived with down and has had some neighbors that are quite noisy and quite troublesome, that I would prefer to have them next door to me because the regulations, the stipulations would be there, and I could make a phone call and have the noise stopped. And as it is for me right now, I can't do that. I have no recourse. So as a neighbor that's lived in this town for 60 years, I don't think that that's quite true what you said. And I just want to make it clear that we always give stipulations to all of our home applications.
And that's standard. And we've done that. But again, I've been here for 35 years myself, and I personally don't like this application and would not want small monitoring repair shop people looking.
Well, then that's certainly your
right. It's not because of the noise factors. Again, that's, we have stipulations from whatever 10 o'clock at night, that is what it is. That's irrelevant here. To me, it's again, we're in and out of the building, we're bringing in commercial outside people into a home here regularly, in and out, whatever times of the day they need, and we're building another fence area on top of it, all in residential zone. To me, it's above and beyond the home use. And I'm not the only one.
Well, we haven't closed it here.
I agree. No. Just
one point. Most of the customers that Carl has are our neighbors. They're residential people in the area. We don't have any big commercial companies that keep coming in. There may be one or two people that, you know, maybe three or four a week at the most people that come in. And that's to drop them off and to pick them up. So,
you know, I'm mad at myself because you brought all those letters.
I have them.
One thing I did notice, and I made a point of saying this at the last hearing, was that almost every neighbor across the road from that sent a letter of recommendation.
Yeah, I have the letters right here.
I know. I personally know the people that live on
it. Well, from my recollection, I'll for pretty much every letter we had, it was in support of the letter.
But what it does help me with is that I look at a location. If you're close to it, I feel like your feelings about it are going to impact you more than this is somebody that's 5 houses down the road or 10 houses down the road. So that was one of the things that I use when I'm trying to figure out whether, you know, how many of the neighbors are really against it and how many aren't.
And I have all the letters right here.
And I only had one person at the time who knew that was my neighbor.
So just to recap here, what I've heard is six areas of concern that would require some sort of addressing. Hours, outside storage, the number of pieces of equipment under repair, the number of pieces of equipment used for parts that are in storage, and the running of motors, and the hours of repair operation itself. So those are, I had six categories of, based on the exchange I've heard both from the public hearing and from the applicant and the board's deliberation, those are the six I have so far.
Well, if we don't have any more deliberation, I will close the hearing and look to the board to make a motion.
Well, you got seeker.
Oh, I'm back to the seeker. I'm sorry. And I haven't done that in a long, long time, so I'll have to do it. Because the survey was, we usually start with 5, you know. We don't need to go about 5 minutes.
What I would do is, does everyone have a chance to look at the short EAF that was submitted by the
applicant? It was submitted in the last one.
Right.
Yes.
And then you could ask everyone.
Has everybody had a chance to look at it? Does anybody have any questions about it? Are we, I forgot what we make a motion on.
Can
we
not make a motion?
Not a motion, on the seeker, but we only have to.
You cannot make a motion on the seeker yet. Is everybody okay with how short form part one has been completed? Anybody have any concern about anything else that we're giving by the applicant?
No.
So then you want to do it part two?
Part two.
Which I'm trying to pull up. You don't have.
I have a part two here, not the part two.
I have
the questions that have to be addressed.
So, yes, and what I will do is what our normal chairman does. I will read this through and I will make a determination, and if you don't agree, speak up. Well, the proposed act to create a material conflict with the adaptive land use plan is only regulations. No. Will the proposed action result in change in use or intensity of use of land? No. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of the existing community? No. Will the proposed action have an impact on the environmental characteristics that cause the establishment of a critical environmental area? No. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change in the existing level of traffic at the affected existing infrastructure for mass transit, biking, or walkway? No. Will the proposed action cause an increase in the use of energy and it fails to incorporate reasonably available energy conservation or renewable energy opportunities? No. Will the proposed action impact existing public, private water supplies, public, private wastewater treatment facilities, their utilities too? No. Will the proposed action impair the character or quality of an important historic, archaeological, architectural, or aesthetic resource? No. Will the proposed action result in an adverse change to natural resources, wetlands, water bodies, groundwater, air quality, flora, or fauna? No. Will the proposed action result in an increase in the potential for erosion, flooding, or drainage problems? No. Will the proposed action create a hazard to environmental resources or human health? No. Did I call the public?
Yes, you know.
Okay.
We have to read that before you close.
No.
You do the seeker.
No, you do the seeker after the public hearing.
That's what I wanted.
Now, he said no. I mean, if you don't concur,
if you don't agree with that, you speak up.
No? Correct.
There was a question that was answered in the negative, and you want to discuss it again. Let me know.
All right. Somebody want to make a motion?
You've done seeker, but what are you determining is significant? Are you determining that you want to issue a negative declaration?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I would issue a negative declaration.
So you need to make a motion on that.
I'll make a motion that we have a negative declaration for seeker. Does that have to be all voted on?
You need a second and a
second. All those.
Who seconded? I can't tell you to apart when I'm not looking.
Sorry.
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Mr. England?
Yes.
Mr. Elms?
Yes. See, I told you I'd come through this. I don't do this often. Thank you for the sugar.
Give me that page back.
I'm
you want that right there,
then? No, I want the one that I gave you.
Oh, this one.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I keep looking for the application I have in front of me. Shuffle things around or okay, so are we at a point where we can decide what the board's choice is, what their plan is?
Well, somebody has to make a motion one way or the other, and the restrictions would be put in with the motion. And I somehow shuffled the table through it. Does anybody want to make a motion?
With the four of us up here, if it carries 3-1, it's still approved?
Correct. Yes.
2-2 now?
2-2 would be a tie.
2-2 would be a denial. No. So it
would be a denial. Would be, and the rest is the same as the denial. Okay. Well, I will make a motion. I'll make a motion to approve appeal number 803. And I think we have to be very careful on the stipulations that go on.
Mr. Chairman, Acting Chairman?
Yes.
I would recommend that whatever motion be made for or against, that you approve the requirements that are in the law, the new standards, both 149.32 and 149.33, so that we have a full record.
Zoning Board of Appeals, accompanied by a completely documented description of the proposed use, including max plans and explanation indicating why the proposed use would be in the public interest. After due public notice and hearing, the Board of Appeals may issue a special permit for a home occupation in accordance with the provisions of the chapter, provided that 1. Such usage will not endanger the health, safety, morals, or general welfare of the neighborhood or adversely affect the environment. 2. Off-street parking spaces are adequate to handle expected attendance. 3. The neighborhood character and surrounding property values are not endangered. 4. Such use, therefore, will not cause undue traffic congestion or grade traffic hazards.
These only need to be conditions. I would go through 1-4 and see if there's any motion.
Any discussion on 1-4?
You
asked
me to motion.
What was the motion?
I
thought you were going to do it. Okay, so I read that and I didn't make the motion. Sorry. Okay. I was going to make a motion that we approve of the stipulations. Now, do I do the stipulations, or do I wait and see which way the board wants to go, and then if they choose to second it and vote on it, we can do stipulations then, or if they deny it, you don't have to do this.
That's completely up to you. If you want to make a motion and add certain stipulations to it, then you will. If you want to make a motion without stipulations, and then you want to add stipulations, then you have to amend your motion.
Well, I just don't know what the process is. I have no idea how the
process
is. I know, why not? All right, well, I'll make the stipulations then, as best I can. Correct me if you won't feel incorrect. Hours of operation, I have thought from 9 until 9. At 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. No hours after that. No working on any equipment outside of the garage. I had had a stipulation prior that I felt he should not have any more than 5 stored at any time. I don't know if that's. I mean, it doesn't have to be 5, it could be less, it could be not outside. If that makes the workers more comfortable.
Now, is that stored for parts or stored for repair?
I don't. Do we need to make that?
Yes.
Yes.
I think you do.
I would say stored for repair.
More than 5?
Stored for repair.
How about the parts?
If
I believe that he should dismantle the ones he has parts in and store the parts in the building. I don't think it should be outside.
No outside storage at all.
Right. I don't think these lawnmowers and tractors should be outside storage.
Am I able to ask one more question, or before shut down?
He still has the motion down. Chris is trying to figure out what motion.
Yeah, that's difficult. I know. There's a lot of. What was the other conditions?
Time.
Okay, time.
So how about days of week?
Days of week.
Fence.
No, there's no storage outside of the five machines. That are just being repaired. No outside storage for parts. I don't know. Well, the fence is a privacy thing. If you would have to get an application for the fence up anyway.
Well, there's a fence permit required in any event, yes.
So I mean, I'm not sure that.
I haven't addressed the runtime yet.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Design,
yeah. You mean the running of the machines?
Running the machines.
Well, I think in accordance with the code, I mean, if it's a 5-minute limit, then that would be it.
With the code, 5-minute limit.
So what happens if I got to mow my lawn?
Well, that's
different.
We're talking about repair.
No.
We're not talking about, you know, that's what I said. I mean, you got to mow your lawn. And this would be, when you repair a machine, you fire it up, you don't have to run for half an hour now. Just sitting there, you know. You said five things, and
I had six.
Six.
Hours of operation, outside storage for those under repair,
mm-hmm.
And you said five.
Yeah.
Then storage of equipment for parts, none.
No.
Running of motors?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. I think you've addressed everything I had on my...
Just hours of operation on Saturdays and Sundays.
Yep.
I think if we fall between the 9 to 9, my personal feeling is would be Monday through Sunday. It's a in the garage repair.
So 7 days a week.
7 days a week.
You flexible on that on Sundays? I'd like to shorten that on Sundays.
Yeah, I'm flexible.
I think Sundays, personally, maybe if you're going to do that, and that's one of your days off, I think as a concession, I'll limit myself. I'd like to say maybe like 6 p.m. on Sundays, 9 to 6 p.m.
I have no problem with that.
I'm fine with
that. I would certainly change that.
Just to have full room, you know.
Yeah, no, I think 9 to 6 p.m. is a good suggestion. I have actually no problem with that.
So the resolution for hours of operation and days of operation is 9 to 9 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 6 on Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was the number that would be there currently under repair for?
Five.
That was the 5.
Yeah.
And then
no storage.
No storage.
For parts. I think you get a machine and it's a junk machine. You strip it down and you get parts.
No.
No outside storage.
Right. Right, no outside storage.
Now,
in
that regard, we have numerous pieces of equipment outside that are for repair. I think as part and parcel of that, part of the resolution should be a date by which the current stuff has to be gone.
Well, and I agree. And if they're there to be repaired, you've got to put them back up to be repaired.
Pardon?
Is that not also possible?
Yes. Oh, the adult? That stuff is very enforced.
Yeah, the ones that are outside are just parts, machines, you don't have any.
Repair,
for repair.
There are some.
The ones outside, the ones out back, are the ones. Some are parts, some are still
good. So you're comfortable with the 5 for repair, no more than that outside?
Yes, for customer.
And those are repaired. And you're going to get rid of, and the stipulation will be no storage of machines to be for parts. You strip them out, if you get an old machine, you put them on a shelf, and you get rid of the fall.
Mm-hmm. And everything that's held back now was donated to you. You've taken ownership of all that, correct?
That's all your metals.
And I think, I mean, Don, if I'm wrong, you don't agree, but I think with the fence, he has to come before the building department to get a permit for a fence. If he was to put a pool up in his backyard and put a 6-foot fence up, I don't have a problem with putting a fence up. So I don't think I want to put that into any stipulations or anything.
Because he doesn't need, you don't need to put a fence up.
Right. But if he chooses, to put a fence up,
That's the board criteria based on what he had sitting out back as a pile. We're eliminating that pile.
We're eliminating that.
By what date, though?
What is the reasonable time to get it all out of there? I want to get it.
I'm only one guy, so can you give me like a month and a half, 2 months?
If I could, your code allows, if this is granted, the code gives the appellant 90 days to put everything.
So you're saying you can do it in 2 months? That would be good.
To give them the regular 3 months.
We'll give them 9 days.
Give them the 9 days, that way it's on the patent. Yeah. Comes off. So you're saying in September. You're talking by end of November.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I think so.
So, for appeal number 803, I'm making a motion to approve it. With the stipulations that we put into it. Which are in my hand. Thank you.
But the hours of operation are going to be Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. There will be no working on any of the equipment outside the garage.
Right.
That there will be no more than 5 vehicles stored for repair outside.
Not vehicles, but
pieces of equipment.
We don't want to say vehicles.
Yeah. That there will be no outside storage of any parts. And that the running of the machines will be limited to whatever is set forth in the town code.
Right.
And that pursuant to the code, they will have 90 days to remove any of the equipment that is on the property that would be in violation of any of these conditions.
Yes.
Did I get everything?
I think you
heard it. I just thought of something else.
I just want to point out, the code talks about vehicles. So if you're going to, then I would ask that you say the engines, whatever, because these aren't vehicles.
Sorry, we took out vehicles.
No, I know, but on the 5-minute thing.
Engines. Well, I think that's what the code says, doesn't it? Oh, you say the code says a vehicle can't run for more than 5 minutes?
Right.
So, but I don't think we can say lawnmower, because if we do that, then if he mows his lawn and the neighbor doesn't like it, he can say...
No, I think we can differentiate between him running his personal mower and...
Running something that he's running
to repair.
Okay, so if we put into the stipulation there's no engine that he's... None of the lawnmowers that he's working on are chainsaws, and I think we probably have small engines can run for more than 5 minutes at a time.
And that's the other thing I thought of. No ATVs or...
Oh, absolutely.
And what else is was meant? No motorcycles.
If I may make a suggestion, I had that earlier, that the engines be limited to lawnmowers, garden tractors, snowblowers, and chainsaws.
Yes.
Correct.
But that doesn't include our personal.
No. This is just for your repair work.
Okay. I don't get where these facts are that I have motorcycles and...
Well, if it's not going to, it's not an issue, then it's not an issue.
If it's not an issue for you, then the fact that says the stipulation is not right. So I think we've got...
I've got one question.
Yes.
Like I said, if I'm doing a deck issue, can I mow my whole lawn?
If you've worked on a lawnmower, you're adjusting the decking, and your lawn needs to be mowed, and you're mowing your lawn, I don't see how that can be misconstrued as anything other than mowing your lawn. Our meeting is kind of... we're not on a set time meeting.
I just have one quick question.
If it's okay with the board, I know we're not open to the public now. Do you mind if I let me ask this question?
Okay. So that that means all the mowers that are there for parts will be removed.
They're gone.
They're gone.
He has 30 days. They're 90 days. I mean, he has 90 days to do that.
And that's huge.
Well, I told you at the last meeting that I agreed that I didn't think that should be like that.
Right.
So.
Right. And so that's no parts or any parts.
Everything, all of his parts, by our stipulations, if he takes a lawnmower, a part for parts, the parts that he stored in the garage.
Understood.
So, you know. Okay. And so I hope you appreciate it. We did let you ask the question.
And I do. Thank you.
Is there any more discussion up here? I've made a motion. It needs a second.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Could you poll the board, please?
Mr. Manning?
No.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Mr. England?
Yes.
Mr. Elms?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
And what I would ask you to do is please stick with what we've asked.
Yes.
I think that's very important.
I think in law biases.
We've tried to be courteous to you, and I think it's only important that you be courteous back to us as a town as your neighbors.
When we get a copy of the resolution, the typed copy, I will make sure you have a copy so you can see the stipulations, and I think it's fairly well laid out, so you'll see what the stipulations are that this has to operate under. And we'll be out to see at the end of October looking for a completely clean yard.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's going to be a lot of leaves there.
Well, mine too.
And I appreciate the members of the community that are here being respectful to each other. I mean, sometimes you get a little rancid when things don't go exactly the way you want. And I appreciate that you've been very kind. And I hope what we've done will work.
I think that is one of the hardest decisions I've had to make.
Well, I understand. And Carl's a nice guy. We've always got along, and I don't want to fight with Carl. I think Carl's a very hard worker. I just didn't want our land to depreciate because of all of them.
And I would hope that what we've done will fix that problem.
Quite frankly, he was a good neighbor. This should not be a problem with you.
Yeah.
As a neighbor, you should want to be able to.
The problem is it comes so quick. So fast.
But I hope that everybody, I hope this works well for everybody to try. It was not easy. It was not easy for the board. The board had a tough time with this decision, so we thank you.
We have Habitat.
I believe they're here.
Representatives here.
Okay, let me get back to try. I made such a mess with this.
But I'm not ready.
No, I'm not ready either. I don't know if we're still there. And there was a garage. So this is Appeal 807.
No, I know the rules for it.
I'm sorry, what happened? Well, I know. I'm just going to go through the.
It's a lot
of work. Okay, 807. This is a request of Habitat for Humanity, Northern Sarasota, Warren, Washington County, 1373 Route 9 Borough. For an area variance pursuant to Chapter 149, Article 10, Section 149-59A, and Town Law 267B, the applicant is proposing construction of an approximately 2,400 square foot storage facility will not meet the required 30 foot rear setback in a C1 general commercial district. This property is designated
that is 63.3-1-10 out of town settlement. And you're representing. Let me first say that the board hands down one member tonight.
I'm sorry.
So we only have four on here, and we normally have five. If you would choose to want to hold it over because you were concerned with that, if you can, if you're fine with us seeing or listening to your appeal, we'll do it.
You got to
say yes or no.
Yes. We're comfortable.
You're comfortable. Okay. Very good. All right. So you want to talk to us about this?
Sure. Quick introduction. I'm Adam Felton. I'm the executive director for the Habitat for Humanity. We manage the Restore there locally. This is Chris Round. He's one of our board members here assisting me this evening. So we have a very good problem. We've outgrown our building. And
that's a good thing, isn't it?
It's an excellent thing. Yeah, so it's a very good thing. Business has been going extremely well. The community has been extremely supportive, so supportive that we are unable to keep up. And so one of the short-term strategies that we attempted was to put three containers on our site to sort of alleviate some of the operational stress. The planning board said, that's a big enough change where you need to sort of revisit this. And so the planning board, through multiple discussions, encouraged us to keep as much of the business as possible in the local community. And discussing with Jim, discussing with the planning board, we felt best strategy was to build a storage unit to alleviate some of that operational exposure. And that is what we have in front of you tonight. So that's sort of how we ended up here.
That is that L-shaped building in the back.
Correct.
Yeah, it just in the L shape. We looked at a couple of different concepts of where to put the storage area, and we're constrained. We're trying to maintain traffic circulation around the building. So that was one of the issues that we're trying to address.
Because it was a very busy picture.
How are you?
A lot of detail in it.
Yeah, we apologize. I think that was some of the original site plan, so we didn't invest a lot in creating. We're trying to keep it simple to manage our resources. We had looked at, and I think Adam shared a couple concepts with Mr. Martin, and one of those was along this boundary, it would impact some parking at that location, and our septic system is located in that area, so we're trying to avoid that. We could come up with a couple other options, and while not the most attractive, perhaps, but it's probably the most efficient use of the space, is using this L-shaped structure. And we were asking for relief from the side and rear setbacks so that we can push that structure and still maintain circulation around the building for truck traffic. So we have
is there
a...
Yes?
Is there a relief on the back of the back setback?
Yes, I think that's what's being requested.
Yeah.
Chris, could you talk about parking? How you're relating to parking and staying within the parameters of the code? But yes, the answer to your question is relief is required from the rear setback.
Requires a minimum of 15 feet now.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, this structure, rear setback. Should be picked on the plan. We're proposing a 10-foot setback, so separation from the rear line. And then on the side, we're not asking for relief. That was an error on my part, so we are maintaining the setback.
So it's about 33%.
Yeah, it's 5 foot. We're asking 5 foot relief on the back.
No, it's actually a 30-foot rear setback, and we're proposing 10. So we're asking for
26.
Yes.
Okay.
One of the issues we're dealing with is parking, and I know I don't have the original approval in front of me. Common Row, you guys look at this, is retail. This is, if you've been into the Restore, it's unique. It's like a furniture storeroom. It's like it's fully occupied with product. Floor and ceiling. And the operation, and Adam's better explaining this, is we're lucky sales are good, there's high turnover, and so we have no place to store goods to keep
goods on the floor, and so that's the purpose of you know, primary purpose of the structure.
To sort of expand on that. So when one of the reasons we sort of caught the eye of the planning board initially is because donors would come by and just, we were overwhelmed with donations. We literally had nowhere to put them. And so we actually created a partnership with the Washington County EOC to have off-site storage. But people come with U-Hauls, very valuable items, and from an operational exposure, we're basically either turning them down or having to try to coordinate a 15-20-minute drive into Washington County. This sort of alleviates sort of that dumping, you know, allows us to, in addition to the turnover, you know, what every item you offer is unique, so it's not like a regular retail store where there's one hat and a 25 in the back.
We all did a lot of learning with this particular use of this property, because I don't think they realized, and we came to realize, what is required in operating this particular use on this site. And I think they've gotten now to a point where they've got their operational conditions working well. They actually prepared an operations plan for the planning board as to how this was to operate, you know, on a week-to-week daily basis. And since they've done that, the site's cleaned up a lot. They did the off-site storage in Hudson Falls, as he indicated, and now things are operating pretty well. And that's when they came up with the idea of, it is cumbersome to be off-site, you know, across town, and so they'd like to get more storage back on-site, but, you know, this lot's got limitations. So that's what resulted in this application, and that's a little history behind this particular use here.
But when I look at this, it looks, you know, they went up and down to just 10 foot.
Right.
And in that building, I know they want to maintain the swing, the parking. I'm thinking that there's a circular driveway that goes through the back there. Is that what you're depicting there?
There's a truck template, a circulation pattern there, and it's hard to pick out. We want to bring goods through there and then allow a truck to circulate through the site without having to back up or do
anything. Chris, just so we address the question about feasible alternatives, you're showing that one dimension of this structure is 42.38 feet. See what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. tail on that L, so to speak. If that's shortened to 32 feet, and the building could be pushed ahead 10 feet more and reduce that relief by, you know, another 30%. Is that feasible? And if not, why not?
We presented a plan that we think accommodates our needs.
Right.
If we shrink it, our concern is that we're going to run into the same situation we have today.
Okay.
We'll have something come out of the site. And we realize that this is probably a kind of a near-term solution for us as well. We're looking at, and I think you've been part of those conversations, that we're looking at other ways to expand our footprint, but we just don't have the resources to look at that right now. So this is kind of a short-term plan. So we're asking for what we think we need. Could we reduce it? You know, if we said that was the will of the board, we would have to figure that out. And, you know, with respect, I just want to touch on, you guys about parking, and I don't have all the approved parking that was on the part of the plan. So there's 42 spaces on the site as we show it. Mm-hmm. That exceeds our needs. We have never seen, you know, unless it was a special event, we've had a grand opening, we've had a barbecue, on site. We never see that 60% occupied, you know. The Moroto's parking standard for retail, which we're applying here, is 1 per 100. And that is twice the rate of Half Moon, twice the rate of Queensbury, mm-hmm. twice the rate of Wilton. So we think it's excessive. The trend in planning is less parking, and you know, we're trying to avoid parking on the street. We don't think that's
And that's one of the reasons why that's a little bit larger than some of the other communities, because It's amazing. We've had businesses that came in that didn't meet the requirement. We gave them relief on the parking, and then we've had issues with cars parking on the side of the road. So it's a real catch point here for that. But yes, we do require a lot of parking spaces.
And you do know that sometime in the near future that this area here with the location of the septic may become a moot point as well?
Well, and we voted. As part of that, as landowners in that, and we were happy with the outcome.
Yeah.
That's an investment on our part. We think it's going to bring value to our site and allow us that to go away. But the reality is that was not a vote to construct the facility. It was a vote to establish the district.
Right.
And there's a lot of work that's to be done. And so
it's going to
the goal of 2020, I think it's out there, 2021. But
that might be
a lot of work.
That's a long-term goal.
Yeah.
I think that might be a little bit quicker than what they are doing.
Yeah, so we realize that. We've seen that happen.
I just wanted to bring, I didn't know if it was
no, England, yeah.
Before.
Yep.
You know, we always, I mean, this is a lot of relief. We don't, you know, we throw this thing around at 50%. We've deviated from that. It doesn't set precedent with respect to, we don't have to do it for, it's based on the circumstances, it's based on the situation. This backs up to a large commercial piece of property. That I don't think, I don't believe it will be residential. I think it'll end up being commercial, don't you?
I
think there's an application in there.
I believe there's an application for it to be commercial. So that, for me, I was just speaking for me. For me, that makes me a little bit less concerned about it. The lease on the back line, because more than likely it's going to be just another commercial building on the other side.
Do we have any opposition from that?
Have we got any letters tonight?
No, nothing came in.
Is there anybody here tonight in opposition to this?
Nope.
We love it. Well, we all go there, that's for sure. And it's amazing, and I have to tell you, sometimes it amazes me, yeah.
Well, this is, it's all C1 zoning behind it.
Yeah.
So
that's what I'm saying, it's going to be commercial.
Yes, so it's not a matter of changing something to do that. It's already zoned that one.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yep. It's a C1 area, so I know it's going to be developed commercial, and that makes me a little more comfortable with the benefit we made. You know, we would have to give you what you want. We're going to have to deviate some from what our norm would be. But I do think you've taken a piece of practice that's sitting empty for a while, and you're generating a lot of business there, which is good for the community. And I think it's a wonderful chance, and I think it's a wonderful problem to have that you have to grow.
Just curious, can you just describe the nature of the building you're proposing back here? You've got the Premier building, wood structure, what are you guys proposing back there?
Yeah, it's likely to be a wood structure, as affordable as possible.
It's kind of
like, we're thinking like Curtis Garage kit, what type of old barn
structure? It's really nice.
Five or six overhead doors, I assume, kind of thing. How do you get in and out of this building?
We haven't designed it, so I don't want to say what we know. Like,
I'm just curious what you get. Do you guys picture, you know, four roll-up doors that you have back of things to another, or is it kind of one entrance, one exit?
There'll probably be a few entrances, two, three. So we're thinking one will be here, and then two here, and then the regular door size.
I'm just curious, as you're trying to figure out how you're parking it, and how people, like, say, pork truck are going to be used to get in and out, and just catching where we're actually to put there.
Yeah.
So again, that was also a Jim's question too, because I was thinking that same thing about that 42-foot dimension. It is kind of an odd shaped building, so I was curious as to what that intent was, you know, if there's something different for that place. Because again, that 15-foot kind of rule of thumb is at least a 15-foot setback would be nice if you get one in. You know what I mean?
So
you at least 15 foot off that back line instead of 10. You know what I'm saying?
Why couldn't they just move that whole building forward? I mean, it's going to impose on
the dumpsters are going to be shifted, so.
I mean, if you move it 5 foot forward, that would allow us to have 15 foot on that back line. And I don't think you'd have to reduce. Do you think that that's going to cut your traffic, your swing for the trucks, that 5 foot?
Well, again, there's all sorts of things. I mean, could the roll-off dumpsters, instead of being stacked side by side, be set end to end?
Yeah.
And then
you gain that space.
You know, I don't know, as a practical, you know, you could have the opening on either end, instead of them being side by side.
If we moved it 5 feet,
just further,
reduced it. So I know when I throw this out there, if we reduce this by 5 feet, is it okay to grow this by 5 feet? I don't know what we'll do. Are you okay with that?
Yes. Those are the types of things
we're
I think.
We're trying to maintain the size, but it would have to be smaller than we were showing. We wanted to ask for what we needed them to buy.
That would give you the exact same size building.
Which is actually going to be moved to here anyway.
Okay.
But
I think they still retain those if you really show
them. I'm not used to being the chairman, so I don't think you need to try to do it.
Troublemakers on here, bookends.
Structure, you bring it back 5 feet, if we gave you 50, that would be 50%. And then you can adjust that. I really think you can adjust that pretty easy. Whatever way works for you.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
And then, if you still wanted to put the 5 feet on the other end, you could.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you have your business here. There's still an option. You could still go.
Do we have more questions for these gentlemen? I think that it's. I think I'm just glad you guys are over here.
I'll make a motion that we approve this with the stipulation that we give it a minimum 15-foot setback off the rear boundary.
Yep. Okay.
For application 807, you have to have a
15-foot. I will second that if you're finished.
No.
So we have a motion and a second.
I think you should review the criteria as Gary usually does.
Yes, sorry. I have that way. And what you said, that we're going to put that over here. Yep. Wait a second. Okay. Requirements for granting an area variance. That the strict application of set dimensional requirements will result in a specified granting difficulty for the applicant. How substantial the requested variance is in relation to the requirements. And like we said, that's 50%. That the difficulty cannot be alleviated by some practical method feasible for the applicant to assume. That there will be no substantial change in the character of the neighborhood or detriment to the adjoining properties. Is everybody that the variance would not be materially detrimental to the purpose of this chapter or to the property in the district in which the property is located or otherwise conflict with the descriptions or purpose of the district or the objectives of any plan or policy of the town, that the variance requested is the minimum variance which would alleviate the specific practical difficulty found by the zoning board of appeals to affect this applicant. So I think we largely agree that we fit that standard. We've got a first and a second. You want to pull the board?
Mr. Manning?
Oh, yes.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Mr. England?
Yes.
Mr. Elms?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay. So now we go to 809, right? Appeal number 809. Appeal for an interpretation has been filed by Richard and Elizabeth Mark seeking an interpretation from the Zoning Board of Appeals regarding the proposed 2-lot subdivision by Janet Shaw at 55 Town River Road, Gansford Road. One lot is proposed as 5 acres, and the second lot would be 4.446 acres, and not meet the minimum lot area of 5 acres as required by the town zoning law. The property owner has first proposed a 2-lot subdivision which had reversed the lot size between the 2 lots. The zoning board of appeals denied the area variance seeking relief from the minimum lot size. The property owner then applied reversing the lot size, and the zoning administrator determined on July 24, 2018 that the application reversing lot size was substantially different from the first request. The applicant is seeking a reversal of determination as they allege that the proposed changes do not represent a substantial change. And again, we're only 4 board members tonight. I want to make it clear that if you choose to not be heard tonight, we can hold on to the next meeting.
No, we'd like to go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So, what do you want to go ahead and are you representing?
Yeah. I'm representing Mark's to Claudia Waver. Okay. I made this argument to you, several months ago. And so I don't think there's a lot to it. Mr. Martin put together a written determination saying that there was a substantial difference in the area variance requested. But my position is still that the 2017 application requested an area variance of 0.34 acres. And then they turned around and requested again an area variance of 0.34 acres. So it's exactly the same dimensional area variance that they've requested, both in the new and the old applications. So it's my position that it's substantially.
The amount?
0.34 acres.
And does that sound like that here? I got 4.446.
No. That's the, you're right.
Oh, the total.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, you're talking about that. Okay.
Yeah, that's the only thing you're looking at in area variance is the amount of acreage that you need to reduce them, or they are asking you to reduce the acreage size that they need under your code, which is a minimum of 5 acres. That's all you're looking at. So under the old application, the new application, the dimensional amount is exactly the same. You're not here as a planning board. You're not looking at whether or not they have proper driveways and all of that stuff for their lot configuration. So I know Mr. Mark made an argument about now one lot is conforming and one lot is not conforming, but they were conforming and not conforming before, too.
They flipped.
Right. They do have it flipped, so that now the house lot, I'm calling it the house lot because that's where their existing house is, that lot now, under their newest proposal, would have 5 acres and be conforming. Okay, but this is also technically a house lot if you let this be subdivided. Because that's the whole purpose of subdivision, is to make another buildable lot. So you're going to have another non-conforming lot that would technically have a house on it. And that's what they want to do. They said that in their application materials. That they want to put a ranch or something, a single floor residence for their personal use. But either way, you've got a non-conforming lot and a conforming lot. And it's exactly the same area variance. The only other thing that I would point out is that I think it's worse having this become a non-conforming lot, because now you're going to have an accessory use, the accessory farm structure, which is indicated here as a garage. But they were actually given a permit, I think, for an accessory farm structure. That's going to be a freestanding thing with no
principal use. In my mind, that's worse, making the garage lot the non-conforming lot. But anyway, that's aside from my argument that this is exactly the same application. Not the same application. Not the same application. It's the same requested variance amount, which is what you're looking at under your criteria. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you.
Opportunity to rebut?
Yes, sir.
There's a lot of that time. Okay, I think there is a number of levels on which this is a substantially different application. When you look and apply the use schedules that are allowed in the RR5 zone, and then how that is impacted by one lot being non-conforming as opposed to another, that has broad implications throughout the neighborhood in terms of the appearance and character of the neighborhood, and then the allowability of the lot owners of these lots going forward, whether it's Mr. Shaw or the future generations of ownership, they're burdened with varying levels of variance requests at every turn because they have a potentially non-conforming situation under what would normally be allowed on that individual lot. So how you shift that back and forth can have tremendous implications to those lot owners, tremendous implications to the neighborhood, tremendous implications to the infrastructure, meaning the road. So there's all sorts of implications here as to what lot here is found to be conforming and what is not. When you play this forward and the use is allowed in this district, those are the, it's basic 101 zoning. This doesn't need a lot of explanation to understand the degree of material and substantive change between these two applications and how it can play forward.
Do we have any questions from the board?
I see not only two sentences, although the acreage is the same, you were asking for a non-conforming lot on Palmer Ridge, now we're asking for a non-conforming lot on towards the fourth floor of the other side. So as far as providing a change, it's hard to say that they're not identical applications, obviously. I mean, just that's my second point. We're not even coincidentally this particular lot ran on the same road here. So, coincidentally, there's a lot of shade by that road. Now, as the other two, I know this is here says substantial, several times, but I believe the code, or less than
material.
Materially different.
So, again, substantially different, perhaps not materially different. Again, we're asking for a non-conforming lot on a different road in town. So, I don't, that's my statement point on this one. Unfortunately, there's material difference in the road threshold.
Is there any of the neighbors that want to speak on behalf of your?
My name is Bill Lennox, and I don't, this seems like deja vu. I mean, it's like a bad dream play over again. I don't understand what this time, money, and energy we spent here going over something that's it's a bunch of semantics with words. I mean, we went through this once, we denied, I can't do it back here again.
Well, thank you. If there are no more questions, I can close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Your motion is going to be whether this is the motion determination.
Right.
I just want to make sure everyone is quiet.
Yes, this would be a motion. We should entertain a motion and the determination of whether or not this was justified in being a not substantially but
material change.
Well, I'll make a motion. I would make a motion to agree that this is materially different.
Deny the appeal.
Yes. I'll second that. Is there any more discussion from the board? Any other questions? You want to poll the board?
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Mr. Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Mr. England?
Yes.
Mr. Elms?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. Next is the
We're going to end with these, there's no representative.
That's your call, Mr. Chairman. Let's go ahead.
I've not heard a word from him. I had every expectation that we're going to be here.
Well, I was thanked because we would watch the applicant here with him for the. I mean, if we don't have to.
Yeah, all I can say is that, just for record purposes, that the when they were here last time, Mr. Flynnville was here and indicated that the state worked for him. I have reached out to him as I do with, to make sure he was coming tonight. I heard nothing. I knew Claudia was coming, so I didn't personally reach out to her, but I tried to do that for a whole internal. At this point, it's up to the board whether you want to forward with it to the board's jurisdiction, whether you want to table it, whatever the board wants.
Well, I guess I want to do a few for what the board feels.
Well, traditionally, we've tabled.
Yes, we've never.
I don't think we've ever
tabled without full representation from both parties.
From the applicant.
Yeah, I feel uncomfortable moving without the applicant present.
So I would say that we want to table it, so we can make a motion to table it.
I'll make a motion to table appeal number 804.
That's the poll by the board?
Yes.
No.
804
is not what you're talking about. 799.
799. We need to make sure.
Okay.
799.
Table appeal 799.
Tabling 799. Make sure we do it right.
Thank you.
And does that have to be, you need to pull the board on that, right? No?
No.
Okay. Then I'll say aye.
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 Okay. Is there anything else to be pulled the board tonight?
No, I think that's enough.
It's only 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
We'll make a motion to close the meeting.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Thank you.
When is the next meeting?
Because
we're going on vacation again. No.
The next meeting.
I don't want to say it's my vacation.
Before
the
The next meeting, the fourth Wednesday, is the 26th.
So the 26th of September, okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Will you not be here? Will you not be here?
I'll be here.
You're never here in
September. Well, I know that, but this year the two chapter shows are extremely late. They're the first 2 weeks of October.
Oh, so you did this.
You're the best.